What is going on? We have another episode of the Queued Up Podcast. This was a live Facebook interview that I did with Shane Van Boning, very fresh off of his win against Sky Woodward. And he said that he would come on and do a podcast, and true to his word, here he is. And we recorded this on the 14th, for full disclosure, so this is a day late, but I guess that's one of the benefits of following along to the Queue It Up Network Facebook page. You get some interviews sooner than others. So if this is the first time that you've heard this, know that if you follow along to the Queue It Up Network page, you'll get some of these interviews a little bit sooner than what you normally would. So if that's of interest, make sure to head over and like and follow the Queue It Up Network page. So this is kind of a wrap-up of the trip that I took to Oklahoma to watch this match. As part of that, I wanted to give a huge shout-out to some of the people that I met down there. Some of them were podcast listeners already, some of them weren't. But I wanted to give a huge shout-out to a lot of the people who made that trip a lot of fun. So first off, we'll give a huge shout-out to Tracy and to Ethan, as well as Boot Boy, a.k.a. Tyler. It was nice getting to hang out with you guys. I'll also give a huge shout-out to Mike Ong and Phil for your hospitality and bringing me down there. It was a lot of fun getting to meet you guys, and it was a pleasure to get to help out with the event. I'll also give a huge shout-out to Jeremy Jones and Amy Jones. It was very nice to get to meet you. They are with OBQs. I'll also give a huge shout-out to Gus and Jamie. It was a pleasure to get to talk to you guys, too. If you're around the Oklahoma/Dallas area, this guy is one of the best table mechanics that I've come across. The dude knows what he's doing. He's awesome at what he does. Look him up if you ever need to get a table leveled, or I'm sure he probably does installations and stuff as well. The guy is awesome at what he does. And I should give a shout-out to Pamela and Jessica Westbrook and Dave Westbrook as well. It was awesome to get to see you guys. You guys have been listening to the podcast and supporting the stuff that I've been doing for a long time. It was awesome to get to put a face to the name. So thank you guys for showing up. And I'll also give a shout out to Jamie Ingram with Off the Rail Apparel. I got to sit down and talk to you for a little while. It was absolute blast getting to have that conversation with you. It was very insightful, and I admire your work in the industry. So thank you very much. And then lastly, I'll give a shout out to Cindy and Mike for your hosting of the event. It was an absolute pleasure. And I am telling you guys what, if you have the ability to go to Sandite's Billiards, this place probably has the best food of any pool hall I've ever been to in my entire life. And I've been to a lot of pool halls in my life. I'll, you know, completely off the rail, but I'll give a shout out to Matt Apple in Appleton as well. Their food is spectacular. But Sandite's Billiards, wow, you want to talk about a ribeye steak? $25, two sides, and a pot, and a salad. Oh, this thing was like to die for. I ended up having it three times. It was that good. So check out Sandite's Billiards for their food and for their awesome tables. And make sure to tell them Nate sent you. I don't know why. Just do it. It'll make me happy. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of people. I apologize for that. But with that, that wraps up all of the thank yous that I have. I'm sorry if I forgot you. And know that it's just because I'm an idiot, not because I didn't value getting to meet you or spending any time with you guys. But without further ado, let's get underway with the Shane Van Boning interview.
I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
To you. Have you had anybody sing to you yet today?
No, mostly messages on my messenger and messages on my phone. It just blown up this morning. So.
You never more popular than you do on your birthday, huh?
Yeah. Thank you for the birthday wish.
Of course. So we're here with Shane Van Boning. And we're just getting started, so we'll take just a couple seconds here while we allow people to get into the chat room, find out about the video. We're already up to 20 viewers and 25, blah, 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 blah. Jasper, Gannon says, "Hello, Shane," and it's in all caps, so you know it's you know it means something.
Yeah.
So, Shane, where are you at?
I am in Des Moines, Iowa. It's, Pioneer Tournament this week. Big Dog Days. So.
And that's a pretty nice background. Are you sitting at the hotel right now? Is that a golf course?
No, I am actually staying at a good friend of mine that I've known for about 5 or 6 years. He lives on the golf course. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, it looks like there's a nice lake hole right behind you?
Actually, it's a tee box right here. So you can see the tee box, a couple tee boxes. So,
not too bad. And when are you starting at Big Dogs? When's your first match?
First match will be tonight, playing the one pocket tournament. And then the 10-ball tournament will start in a couple of days throughout the weekend.
Gotcha. One pocket, that's you've never liked the game of one pocket all that much, have you?
No. And the reason why I don't like to play one pocket is, I got probably, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years of my career. I would just, put in the best effort for rotation pool, 9-ball, 10-ball. The biggest reason why is just, to give big support for Matchroom. Matchroom put on the big events, 9-ball events. And that's where the money's at in the industry today.
Yeah, it's certainly where it's going to be going forward, it looks like, too. So,
yes.
And I think it's the most fun. I think it's the most viewer-friendly. I think you really got to be a huge pool nut to want to watch 6 hours of pool or 6 hours of one pocket where they may only play 7 games. You got to be a pretty avid fan.
Yep.
So, I guess real quick before we really jump into the match, what we're going to talk about today, I guess throughout all of your career, you've played every game that there is to play. Do you have an actual favorite game?
I do have a favorite game is 8-ball. I grew up playing 8-ball. I think 8-ball is a great game. I wish there was big 8-ball tournaments like the IPT did back in the days. It'd be nice to have a world 8-ball tournament again. 8-ball is a great game.
Yeah. That actually surprised me a little bit. I figured you would have said 10-ball, just because you put so much work into really refining and building that game. But
yeah, 10-ball is actually a good game for you, rotation game. It's all about the break, and then you got to run out, and I think it's a better game than 9-ball, just the edge of it, but it's actually another good game. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get jumped into the big matchup we're going to be talking about. Of course, you just finished up the race to 150 with Sky Woodward. You, at the end of day one, you were down 50-45. At the end of day two, you were up 100-89, and you closed out the match 150-114. So, first question for you is that a line that you thought you could be able to get to pretty easily? Is that a bit of a surprise? What are your general takeaways of the final score?
The final score is pretty close than I thought it was going to be. First day it was a struggle. Because, Sky had a good start and I couldn't get a lead and I couldn't come back and get him. I came back a couple times, but I couldn't close it out. I missed a couple of mistakes that shouldn't happen. And then the second day, it was a struggle at the beginning once again. And then when he had me down 70-63, I went outside for about 10 minutes and just tried to clear my head, talk to myself for a couple minutes. And then I went back in, changed it to beast mode, and won 26 games after that. But truly what happened is I took a bottle of water. When I went outside, I took a bottle of water. I let all my emotions out, let all my anger out. I took a bottle of water and I threw it so hard at the building and didn't even blew up the bottle of water, actually. And
So is that a testament of your pitching arm?
I was more frustrated because I couldn't get the table going. I couldn't get, you know, the packages going like I wanted to, like I was expecting to. But that was the frustrating part. And I just let all my emotions out outside and went back in, and I just changed myself to beast mode and won 26 games after that with a 10-pack. So, I mean, that it takes a moment like that just to change yourself.
Tanner Pruitt says he's going to incorporate the water bottle method.
That's awesome. I didn't, you know, I was just so angry at myself. Why can't I play my best game? And that's pretty much what I did.
Well, I got a question for you, because right around when that 26 in a row started, that's really when you started to find your break. That's also right around when that giant rainstorm came through. Do you think that had a little bit to do, maybe changing the humidity in the room? It kind of just made your break for whatever reason?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the humidity in Oklahoma was just insane, especially on the first day. I mean, I couldn't get used to the table. It was just the rails were boingy. And, you know, there's certain shots that I had to be careful. And when I'm trying to be careful, I can't really play my best game. So, and that was the frustrating part. So, once I got my break going, and that's when the whole game changed. So,
yeah. And for anybody, you know, this is one of the things that you really got to be on site for. No one will really realize that during that second day, right around when you started that 26 in a row, it was raining so hard in Oklahoma that you could not see the cars 15 feet outside in the parking lot. It was raining so hard you could not see any of them. And
I didn't know it was raining. I mean I have my hearing aids shut off, but I guess you could hear the rain coming down, but I didn't actually really hear anything. So but I was just trying to focus on my game. And yeah, so
yeah, I bet they got 3 hours, or I bet they got about 3 inches of rain in about 45 minutes. It was raining that hard for that long. And that's one thing that you don't get from the stream at home, of course, is, you know, that's going to change the humidity in the room drastically. And right when that happened, your break started working perfectly. It's like the pool gods were like, nah, all right, we're going to let Shane win for a while. Here we go.
Yeah.
Have some rain. Right? So I guess let's look at the match as a whole. You win by, I guess, 36 games. It's not really close. Sky comes into this match being dubbed the Bar Box King. Do you think that this takes that title away and gives it to you, or do you think you still got to do a little bit more before, or even do you even want the title of it? What's your thoughts on that as a whole?
I really don't want the title of it. I mean, I think a Bar Box King is just, it's just not a good taste to me. you know, Sky is a great player on the bar table. I was a little nervous at the beginning, because he had a good break, such a good break. And
breaking and running a 7 to start the match is tough.
Yeah, and that's when I realized that I'm going to be in trouble for the whole match. But since he had a lot of dry breaks and scratches on the break, that's why I got the big lead. So,
yeah.
But King of the Bar Table, I mean, I'm not really into it, so I just like the play.
Gotcha. So if you were to run it back with Sky, would you play 10 ball again, or would you want to play 8 ball?
Either game. Whatever game he wants to play. I mean, that's up to him. I'll give him another challenge. So if he wants to play 8 ball, I'm down for it.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move on, I guess. You're now in Des Moines. You're here for the Big Dogs, the Midwest Expo. You're playing in all of the events?
Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. And so that's immediately next on your radar. But before we jump into that, let's talk about, there was a little bit of barking on Facebook, and you know, this always happens, but you said basically anybody in the world can get played on 10 ball. And it looked like there was a screenshot of Dennis on a video call talking to Mike Ong about potentially setting that up. Is that something you'd want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to play the game again, Timbo match. I know I beat him 2 years ago, but I don't know if he's up to for the same challenge. You know, I've only played on standard tables. You know, I'm not going to play on gappy 4-inch pockets. I mean, why would you want to play a game like that where you can't do a lot of shots on 4-inch pockets? I mean, I would like to see more cue ball action, you know. Standard table, you can pretty much do anything, you know, but you can't do a lot of shots in 4-inch pockets. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to play on 4-inch pockets, you know. But I mean, as long as if you want to play on standard table, I'll do it. So,
what about 4 1/4? Find somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, if it's 4 1/4, that's fine. I mean, if it's similar to the Whirlpool Masters this year, the table was 4 1/8, I think. Yeah, brand new tablecloth, right. Brand new balls. If the table's like that, that's fine. I'm down for it. That's a good table to play on. So, I mean, I just can't play on 4-inch pockets when the tablecloth is real old and you're playing with old balls. That's just not going to work for me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're willing to negotiate to make this match happen. So that makes it pretty exciting for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for it. I mean, I just can't have it extremely tight where you can't do certain shots. I mean, it's not really cool if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I agree. So is there anybody else on your radar that you'd like to get besides Dennis? I mean, we've seen you and Dennis play probably 6, 7, 8, 9 times at this point between your two careers. Is there anybody else on your radar that you'd like to get in the box with?
I would like to see Wu Jiaqing Wu and see if he wants to play 10 ball. Or maybe Josh Griffith.
Yes. you just made 160 people in here just like happiest they've ever been. We've been trying to see that matchup for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, I see there's a lot of people talking about Wu for a long time and just never happened. I think it has something to do with, you know, he's in China, you know, but it's hard for him to get over here. So maybe someday we'll make it happen before I retire.
Yeah. Do you know if any of the Chinese are going to make it over for the U.S. Open?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Have you heard if any of the Chinese players are going to be able to make it over for the U.S. Open? I haven't heard anything about it.
I haven't seen the player list, no.
Gotcha. All right, so let's discuss, I guess, your upcoming matches or upcoming events that you for sure are going to be going, not speculating. We got Big Dogs this weekend for you. What do you have in the coming weeks past that?
I am going to Pennsylvania for the juniors. National VNA National Championship, gonna go play with the kids, and then I will be going to Tucson, Arizona after that to play the first Predator tournament, and after that I'll possibly will be going to Sacramento for Oscar Dominguez tournament, and then I haven't quite got my schedule yet for August. Probably gonna take a week off in August, and then we'll have a full schedule end of August through September, U.S. Open, Vegas, CSI. And then October will be International Open with the straight pool. And then November, possibly we'll have to quarantine for the Moscone Cup. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I heard during that week off that you wanted to take, I heard a couple of those Lakers were talking smack about you. They wanted said you can't catch them.
I'm definitely trying to go fishing, but the full schedule just is pretty crazy right now. And
I think we lost your audio. We lost your audio, I think. Did you mute yourself on the bottom left? Uh-oh. Now you're stuck with me, everyone. Ha-ha. Now we're going to lose 400 viewers. Can you hear us? Shane? Hello? Can you hear us, Shane?
You there?
Yep. Can you hear us? Well, now we have your audio. Well, we can't hear you. You can't hear us now. The joys of technology, huh?
Just checking. I don't know why I can't hear you.
Bye, Shane. I'm pretty sure we're going to get him back. There he is. Can you hear us?
Yep. I'm here.
This is an easy game. You know, this technology stuff's not so difficult.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, so I have a question from you for my co-host, and I was told that if I don't ask this question, he's going to leave the show for good. So is it easier to catch the Lakers in the summer or the winter?
I usually go during the fall, winter, and the spring. So summer is just too crowded with the boaters, and so...
So you ain't got yourself no private lake? You got to get yourself a private lake, Shane. Come on.
No.
So I guess there was a couple questions out there in the chat that I thought were pretty good. And this has been a rumor, and I don't know if this is true or not, but so when you're breaking the balls, do you look to your right at the diamond?
No, I'm actually just focusing on the one ball and the cue ball at the same time. So, and partially the aiming where I'm trying to hit the one.
Okay. So I think Billy Thorpe during your matchup with, maybe it was Jason Shaw, was talking about how on the break, you like when you're, especially when you're cutting the racks, you like to look over at the right rail where you're trying to get your cue ball to hit off the cut.
Actually, I didn't even know that I'm actually doing that until Billy actually showed me what I'm doing. But I thought I was just looking at the cue ball and then looking at the nine ball. I mean, not the nine ball, but the one ball, you know, where I'm trying to break balls. I mean, that's what I'm actually trying to focus on.
So there's no big secret? That's just...
No.
Gotcha. And then, I think a good thing to talk about maybe, I saw today on Facebook that you announced a partnership with Omega TV. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, Omega TV, Billiards TV. You know, we started doing matches, big matches, big money matches, actually. And, you know, they're doing actually a good job to promote their business as well. And, you know, they put on big matches, you know, that everybody actually wants to see. So we don't see that very often, and, you know, they're the only people that can actually make it happen. So, you know, just say a big thank you to Mike and Omega Billiards. They're doing an awesome job.
And you're one of the players who has seemingly infinite amount of sponsors. Why don't you take a little bit of time and talk about the rest of them?
Q-Tech, my big sponsor that I've been working for almost, 15 years almost. And then we have Rashawn Billiards. They sent me a table in my house, and I represent them as well. We got VNEA Pooley. I started playing VNEA when I was young, and now they got me on board. They want me to work with the juniors and go to the VNEA Nationals, and great people. And we have, Dynasty Evolves, good balls, awesome balls to play with, fastest for your table. And then we have Andy Clark, another good company for tablecloth for your table. And then am I missing one more?
How tips.
And then how tips. Good tips. I've been playing with that for almost a year now. And I really love the tip as well. Yep.
And how is a sponsor to this this podcast as well. So go Jenny Lynn and go How Tips. We love them too. That's what I play with on my cue.
Yep.
So we'll get you out of here on this one last question.
Okay.
What is your Mount Rushmore of pool players, and you can include yourself? Who are the four greatest pool players to ever play the game?
To be on the face of the Mount Rushmore?
Yep.
We got Efren, we got Earl, possibly me, and then one more would be, trying to think of a European player.
Niels, potentially, Darren.
Kind of hard to choose between Neil, Darren, and Ralph Suquet, so I'll probably have to go with Ralph on that one.
Ralph Suquet. I mean, the guy has never reached the highs that any of the other players has, but that guy has been a absolute beast for about 94 years now. So yeah. Seems like no matter what the tournament is, no matter what the time is, he's always there at the end. It's incredible.
Yep.
So, well, Shane, I know you got a pretty busy schedule and, you wanted to do about 15 minutes, and we've been a little over that, so I appreciate you hanging around with us for the rest of this interview. And best of luck. Happy birthday one more time, and snap off Big Dogs.
I will try. So thank you for everybody, for all your support, and have a wonderful day.
Yep. Take care, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. Thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.